Today's shiur is Masechta Zvah from Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph at the second line. In our previous shiur, we had learned the opinion of Ula, who says that Bia b'miksa shma Bia, that even a partial entry into the Azara is considered a full-fledged entry. Says the Gemara Lema Masayle, perhaps we can have a raya to the opinion of Ula from this Braisa. The Braisa says, Kol smichas shahayisham, all smichas that took place in the Azara, kara aleim ani, teikav l'smichas shchita. I say regarding them that the halach is that immediately after the smicha should be done, after the smicha is done, immediately the shchita should be done. Before we go further, it's interesting to note that the Ramah, when he speaks about the halacha, the minig of kaparis that is done on Erev Yom Kippur, he says that the shchita of the chicken that's being used for kaparis should be done immediately after the smicha. And the Gra says, what is the basis for the Ramah saying so? He says it's based on our Gemara, because our Gemara teaches us the takev l'smicha shchita, right after the smicha should be the shchita. We, of course, don't have smicha. We, of course, are not bringing the kaparis as we are a carbon. But in memory of that halacha, the similar, it should be done, the shchita should be done right after the kaparis. So says again the Braisa, that under normal circumstances, immediately after the smicha, the shchita is done. Chutz mizu, the only exception to the rule, was the smicha that the mitzayra did on his kabonis. Shahaisa b'shar nikner, he did the smicha on his karbonis in shar nikner. She'ein mitzayr yichal konis l'sham, because mitzayr cannot enter the azara at shemazon alav midam chatosim midam hashamay, until he completes the purification process with having the dam chatos and dam oshim sprinkled. And of course, the mefarshim point out that even though the Gemara mentions dam chatosay and dam hashamay at the same time, it's actually very different avoidas. The avoida of the sprinkling of the dam chatas was on the mizbeach. The avoida of the sprinkling of the dam of the oshem, as we discussed in our previous year, was on the toe and the thumb and the right ear of the mitzayra. Now, since it was impossible to do these two acts together, because the Mitzayra stood in the Shah Nikner when he's doing the Smicha, and the Shchita is being done in the Azara. That's why, even though normally tells us the Braisa, Smicha and Shchita should be done one right next to the other, here, since they were done in different places, it's impossible to do Smicha and Shchita. Ask the Gemara, the Amrit, be b'mixes lo shma bia. However, says the Gemara, if we're going to hold that Bia B'mixas is not considered that he entered the Azara, so why can't we fulfill, ask the Gemara, the need to do Tekef L'smicha Shchita, because Lail Yodoy V'lismoich, let him just put his hands into the Azara. Putting his hands into the Azara won't be a violation of him entering in the Azara. On the other hand, because he has his hands in the Azara, he'll do the smicha immediately on the animal, and we'll do the shchita right away, and we don't have any problem. Because the braisa doesn't give this option, is a proof, because bia b'miksa shma bia, and that's why we can't allow the mitzayra just to stick his hands into the azara to do the smicha. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yosef, Hamani, who does this braisa, opinion does this braisa reflect? Rabbi Yehuda, we actually learned the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda earlier on Daf Chaf, Dama Merchik Tzofen. As we learned, the halacha is the kachin kachin, whereas a carbon chattis and a carbon osham fall into that category, the halacha is shchitasim b'tzofen. The shchita of those kabbonis have to be done in the north part of the Azara. And we learned the machloik is exactly what is considered the soften of the Azara. The opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is only the area adjacent to the Mizbeach on the north side. That is the only area that's considered Tzafim. We also learned the opinion of Rebbe Lezer that it extends not only to the area adjacent to the Mizbeach, but also it goes further into the area Bein HaMizbeach U'ulam, the place between the Mizbeach and the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe was even more lenient and said it also extends to the area that's the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Noshim. Those are the 22 Amos between the entrance to the Azara and the actual Mizbeach. 11 Amos, the first 11 Amos of that area is the Ezras Noshim. The second 11 Amos of that area is the Ezras Yisrael. But clearly, if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, says the Gemara, who Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that you're only allowed to shecht the carbon, asham, and the carbon chatos, right next to the Mizbeach. So even if we're going to suggest, says the Gemara, that the person should stand right at the entrance of the Azara and do the smicha, we won't be able to have tekef l'smicha shchita, because they're going to have to take that animal and carry it for 22 amis up to the Mizbeach. And therefore, this option is not really an option. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Ha'amani Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehudi. Our Bryce is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. Dama Merchik Tzofen. That the Tzofen means right next to the Mizbeach. And since the Tzofen means right next to the Mizbeach, we can't shecht it there because it's anyway not going to be takeif l'smicha shchita. There's a very interesting Tosfos. Tosfos Masech the Sukkah says that the halacha is, as we learned now, take l'smicha shchita. I'm sorry, it's a Tosfos Masech the Saita. The Tosfos says that wherever the Torah says that something should be done immediately, we learn from our Gemara that what is the shir? The shir is 22 hours. Because we find in our Gemara, says Tosfos, that since they would have to walk 22 amis from the Shar Nikner until the Mizbeach, that's considered a hefsek. And therefore Tosfos says, whatever the halacha doesn't allow for a hefsek, you can't, a 22 amis is already considered a hefsek. Therefore he says, regarding our Gemara, tekev l'smicha shchita, the halacha is tekev le Geula Tfila. The halacha is that immediately after saying the Brach of Gal Yisrael, one should begin Shemon Esrei. There too, says Tosfos, immediately means that it should not, you should not have a hefsek of the amount of time it takes to walk 22 Amis. And similarly, probably the most relevant halacha is Tekev Netilas Yadayim Bracha. Immediately after doing Netilas Yadayim, somebody should make the Bracha of a Maitzi. And therefore, Tosfos says, there shouldn't be a hefsek of 22 amis between when one washes his hands and makes the Birchas Hamoitzi. The Magen Avraham, and this is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Magen Avraham challenges this Psak. He says, let's look, if anything, our Gemara is a Raya just to the opposite. Because the Gemara at the beginning assumed that you could shecht the carbon asham right next to the entrance of the Azara, and the Gemara said that there's going to be a hefsek, because if you're standing, that's how it began the shir, if the Metzor is standing in the Shar Nikner, and the animal is, and then we take the animal from the Shar Nikner, where he would do the smicha, and then take it inside the Azara, the Gemara is saying that that's a problem, because it's not takeif l'smicha shchita. But if Tosfos is correct, asked the Magen Avraham, that it's only considered a hefsek at 22 amis, so why at the beginning of the Gemara did the Gemara say that doing the smich and shar nikner and then carrying the animal into the azara is a hefsek, is contrary to take the smich and shchita? Why is it contrary? Do the smich in the shar and do the shchita immediately in the azara, and he wouldn't have 22 amis. So the crazy placey in answer to this question of Magen Avraham makes the following distinction. He says that even though Tosfos is paskening that you have to have 22 amos to be considered a hefsek. Says the crazy placey, Tysus will agree that if it's from one room to the next room, even if it's less than 22 amos, it's still going to be considered a hefsek. And therefore, at the beginning of the Gemara, where the Gemara was suggesting that the smicha would take place in the Shan Nikner, and then we would carry the animal into the Azara, so it's two separate locations, that's always going to be considered a hefsek. Then the Gemara continues with the next case, where it's in one place, where you're putting your where the Metzora is putting his hands into the Azara, so the animal is in the Azara the entire time. So there Taisa says that the hefsek is not because it's different areas, but the hefsek is because it's a distance of 22 amos between the animal and the mizbeach. So there's already all the paiskim starting already with one of the earliest achronim, the chuvas on the yontif, says if so, whenever we wash our hands, the tilos yadayim, then we want to make a berachas hamotzi. If we don't have a sink in the room where we're washing, according to the way we're learning the Gemara, we certainly have a hefsek. And even if it's in the same room, sometimes there's a distance between the sink and the place where we eat. Typically comes up in large dining rooms and dining halls and catering halls. What do we do with this very fundamental problem? Says the Tshuva Sani Yontif, and the Mishnah Brura Paskins like the Tshuva Sani Yontif, that since in the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim is included, part of the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim is Nigov Yadayim, drawing the hands. And the Raya, they say, the Nigov Yadayim is included in the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, because we know we make the bracha of Netilas Yadayim after we wash our hands, before we dry them. Now says the Einig Yontif, if the halacha is that the mitzvah is only the washing of the hands, not the drawing of the hands, so says the Einig Yontif, how can we be mekayim the mitzvah? How can we make the bracha at that point? Isn't the halacha that all brachas have to be made over the siyosin? Brachas have to be made before the mitzvah takes place. The fact that we can make the bracha after the washing and before the drawing is right, because the drawing is still part of the mitzvah, and therefore making the bracha before the niguv is considered that you made the bracha before you did the mitzvah. So therefore it says the Einig Yontif, dry your hands, continue drawing your hands until you come to your seat, and that means you haven't finished doing the mitzvah and the Netilas Yadayim, and then when you sit down at your seat, immediately bake the brachas hamotzi, and you'll have taken the Netilas Yadayim bracha. However, I saw from Rabbi Yosef Shlita that he questions this psak, which I said is actually quoted by the Mishnah Brura, because he says, interestingly, that when is the halacha that the niguv is considered part of the mitzvah? That's only if you didn't wash with a revius mayim, with a revius of water. But in a situation where somebody washed his hands with a revius of water, then he's already mekayim the mitzvah completely with the netila. The niguv is not part of the mitzvah, and therefore he says this solution will not work. The only question I had when I saw what Rabbi Yosef says is, according to Rabbi Yosef, we, which Rabbi Yosef continues to say, who typically wash our hands obviously with more than a revius of water, a revius is really not that much, it's only just a couple of ounces of water, so we who wash our hands with more than a revius of water, why do we make the bracha of Netilas Yadayim before the niguv, before the drawing? According to the way Rabbi Yosef understands, the niguv is not part of the mitzvah, and we should therefore have to make the bracha of Netilas Yadayim before we wash. But going back to the Gemara, so the Gemara said that why is it impossible for Metzora to do Tekev or Smicha Shita? Because even if he'll put his hands into the Azara right at the entrance, there's going to be quite a distance between where that's done and where the actual Shechita, which has to be done at the Tzof and HaMizbeach, is done, and therefore it's too much of a hefsek. But ask the Gemara, for Levit Pishpish, so why don't they make another entrance to the Azara? They should make an entrance to the Azara right there, by the place which is the tzofen of the Mizbeach, and by making an entrance over there, the Mitzvah would stand there, do the smicha, and immediately after doing the smicha, they could shech the animal right there. Answer the Gemara, Abaye v'Rava d'Amri Tavayu, they couldn't do that. Because the Pasuk says, Hakub k'sav miyad Hashem alai hesko, kol malachas atavnis. The Pasuk says that Dovid HaMelech was given b'nevuah, exact directions, how the Mishkan, how the Beis HaMikdash and all of its entrances could be done, and he wasn't just allowed to make an extra entrance, a new entrance. As Tosfos, that we learned that the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin says, teaches us an entire procedure, what took place when they wanted to be Maisef al Azaris, they wanted to extend the Azara. So first, of course, the halacha was that we needed the consent of the Sanhedrin. And then the Gemara, I think we learned the Gemara also Masechta Shavuos, goes through an entire procedure of what was done But the bottom line is that we see that there are cases that you're allowed to be moisef on the Azara. So what's the Gemara saying that you can never make any structural changes? So Tosfos answers that even when Sanhedrin agree to make a change, it's only if there's an asmachta, if there's a basis in the Torah that gives us the right to make the change. Just to do construction in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara without any basis in the Torah, even if Sanhedrin consents, may not be done. But it still hasn't answered our question, because here certainly we have a very good reason to do it, that in order that the Mitzvah should be able to do with smicha. So perhaps soon we'll be able to understand Tosfos' Shak V'Tari a little better. Ikadamri, Amr Reb Yosef, Kol HaSoimich, anybody who does smicha, Rosh V'Rubin Machnas, could not just do smicha by having his hands and part of his hands extend into the Azara. Smicha requires most of his body and his head to be in the Azara. My Tama, the reason is because smicha kol koicha bino, smicha requires the entire effort of a person. Hilkach lo yafshar. What the Gemara is saying now is that even if we'll hold that you can make a partial entry into the Azara, that wouldn't be good enough on how to do the smicha, because doing smicha requires kol koichoi, and as the Mikdash David explains the Gemara, the Mikdash David says that the Gemara means to say here is that the person has to have roishoi and most of his body in the Azara, and since he has to have roishoi and most of his body in the Azara, that certainly will be considered a full-fledged bia, and therefore that couldn't be an option on how to do the smicha for mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, Micah Sover. The Gemara now goes to continue analyzing this brisa regarding the mitzvah and his smicha. Ika Sover, smichas osh mitzvah deraisa. If the brisa holds that the obligation for mitzvah to do smicha is a chiv deraisa, and it also holds, as we began the shir, that seikav l'smicha shchita deraisa, the obligation to do shchita immediately after smicha is also chiv deraisa. So leiv l'smach lehadya. So why shouldn't the mitzvah be allowed to do it? Because the Torah, even though normally, of course, a tamei, as we learned and will learn, may not enter the azara, a mitzvah will be an exception to the rule, the rachman amar, because the Torah told him that he may enter. Answers the Gemara, indeed. It could be that midaraisa, a mitzvah is allowed to enter the Azara to do the smicha. He has to enter the Azara because there is no other option for him. Here we have a concern, however, Gzeir Shem Yareb Sias. If we allow him to enter the Azara, and this is the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara, he's entering the Azara with a full-fledged heter to do his smicha. But after the smicha, he's not allowed to remain. And he has to take the quickest route out of the Azara. We are concerned, Chazal were concerned, that he may take a longer route, or as other Rishonim explain, even if he'll take the quickest route, he may not walk as quickly as possible, or as other Rishonim add, there's a concern that he'll walk quickly, he'll take the quickest route, but before he starts exiting the Azara, he may get delayed, which again he has no heter for, and therefore Chazal, even though midaraisa he may enter the Azara to do his smicha, Chazal said he shouldn't. Now we can understand what Tosfos said before, very gishmak. Taisu said, there is no smacht in the Torah for him. There's no reason for us to make the extra entrance by Tzofen HaMizbeach. Why? It's very geschmack. Because Midoy Raisa, he can walk in. So if he can walk in, there's no reason to make new entrances. It's only Gzeres Chazal. Because of Gzeres Chazal, we have no right to make entrances into the Azara that weren't shown to David HaMelech. This is the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara. According to this opinion, there is no concern when the Mitzayir is entering the Azara to go do the Smicha if he's going to take extra steps. The concern is only by his exit. However, there are Rishonim that explain the Gemara that there's even a concern by the exit. Why is there a concern by the exit? We're concerned that by the entrance, because again, even though the Torah said that he may enter the Azara to do the Smicha, he has to go in the quickest route possible, shortest route possible, and there's a concern that he will not, and that's why Chazal said he shouldn't do it. Ikadamri, a different version, Arav Adaba Masna Smichas Asher Mitzayir Daraisa. The din of Smicha is indeed Daraisa, however the din of Tekev L'Smicha Shchita, the din that Smicha has to be done immediately, is not a Daraisa. And therefore, we can't allow Mitzayir to enter into the Azara just to be able to do the Smicha before the Shchita, because there is no Chiv Daraisa to do the Smicha immediately. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. The Pasuk said, we learned this earlier, V'samach v'shachad, mas Smicha b'tayrim, ashchit b'tayrim. Isn't this clearly indication that the Smicha and the Shchita have to be b'tayrim? V'amrit, lav Daraisa, if we're going to say that the din of Smicha, that Smicha has, Shchita has to take place immediately after Smicha, is not the Raisa, but Tameim, Nam Mishkach Slo, we could find a way for a Tamei person to do Smicha. They could do the Smicha outside the Azara, and then the animal will be taken in to do the Shchita. So why, if we're saying, why, if we're learning now, take the Shchita, Smicha Shchita is not a Chiv Daraisa, why do we say that the Smicha must be done b'tayrim? Ela Epech, therefore says the Gemara on the contrary. Mitzmicha Asher Mitzayir Lav Daraisa. The entire Chiv of a Mitzayir doing Smicha is not a Chiv Daraisa. But the Chekev of Smicha Shchita is a Daraisa, and that's why, since it has to be done immediately, that's why the Halacha is that's only where smicha is required. A mitzayir doesn't have to have smicha altogether, and therefore the entire issue is not relevant. Why, ask Rashi and Tosfos, is the smicha of a carbon asham of a mitzayir different than all other smichas? That normally, of course, smicha is an integral part of the bringing of a carbon, and here we're saying it's not. So Tosfos and Rashi both say that the reason the carbon asham is brought is only it's a hechsher. It only is to help him become tahor. It's not for the kaporo. And the rai is because he also brings the karmachatos, and it's the karmachatos that affects the kaporo. And therefore, since it doesn't accomplish what a normal carbon ashram does, therefore the Torah doesn't require smicha on this carbon, even though all other kabbonis do require smicha. Chazanish says, if not that Rashi and Tosfos clearly say the pshat that we just quoted, he would have said the simpler pshat, that that's exactly what the Torah is saying, that even though the carbon asham always requires smicha, the Torah is explicitly making an exception to the rule by a mitzvah. In our previous year, at the end of our previous year, when we learned the opinion of Ula, that Ula said that bia b'miksa shma bia, the Gemara asked the question that the Braisa said that if you have an individual who is a Mitzayra on his eighth day, the day he's going through his purification process, and also he's an individual who's a Tful Yoim from being a Balkari, that normally somebody who's a Tful Yoim, a Balkari, may not enter into the Harabayis, may not enter into the Azara. The Braisa said that once we're allowing him to put part of his body into the Azara of the Gorah Mitzayra, we also may put it, even though he's also now has another issue with him, that he's a full yoim of a balkeri, we will allow him to put his fingers into the fingers and toe into the azara, so they should be able to bring the Korban Pesach, if today is Erev Pesach, and tonight is the time to eat Korban Pesach. And the Gemara asked, if Ula is correct in his statement that Bia B'Mitzvah Shma Bia, so then how can we allow this to happen? So the Gemara answered, Hoyel V'Hutalit Sarasai, Hutalit Kruya. The concept of Hoyel V'Hutra Hutra. That once Chazal, once the Torah gave him as a heter for Mitzvah, the heter is extended also for his tumah of being a Balkeri. Ravina says a different teretz. Linya Malkus Itmar. He says that the halacha, that a tful yoyim may not enter into the azara, is only a chi of Malkus. And therefore we could understand the brisa very well. Pesach, we're talking about Erev Pesach as we just said. The chi of bringing the Korban Pesach is a mitzvah associated by Koris. The chi of the isser of a tful yoyim entering into the azara is only a chi of Malkus. And that's why the mitzvah assay of Pesach supersedes that laugh. So, the Brisk Rav, who quotes his father, Rav Chaim, I think this is what they're trying to say in explaining the Gemara. In our previous shir, we mentioned that when we said Bia B'Mitzvah Shma Bia, there's two ways of understanding that concept, the concept that Ula teaches us. One way of understanding it is that the Torah teaches us that Bia B'Mitzvah Shma Bia, that even if you had a partial entry, it's considered that you had a full-fledged entry. But the other way of understanding the Bia B'Mitzvah Shma Bia, suggests the Achrayim, is that there's a new din. There's one din of coming in completely into an area, and there's another din of coming in partially. And the Halach is teaching us that even partial entry, even though it's not a full-fledged entry, Bia B'Mitzvah is still considered an Aveira. And our Gemara is teaching us that only if somebody completely comes in when he's Tamei into the Azara will there be a Chi of Karis. But if he only enters partially, even if we're holding the Bia B'Mitzvah Shma Bia, but Bia B'Mitzvah Shma Bia doesn't teach us that it's considered like he completely came in. And therefore, since it's not considered like he completely came in, the halacha will be that's only Chi of Malkus, and the Mitzvah of Pesach, which is a mitzvah say that carries with it, kares, will supersede it. But that itself is somewhat difficult. The Gemara is using the concept that we've learned Baruch Hashem many times, of essay doicha loisasei. The essay of Pesach is doicha the loisasei of Tumah. But as the Rishonim, the first of all, the issur for somebody Tumah entering the Azara is not only a loisasei, there's also a mitzvah say. And even though the rule is that essay doicha loisasei, ain't essay doicha loisasei vasei. And a bigger question is, as we recall when we began Masech the Yevamos, and we learned the concepts of essay doicha loisasei, the Gemara says that when do we apply the concept of essay doicha loisasei? If doing the mitzvah sasei and violating the loisasei happen at the exact same time. The classical example is the Kohen who's wearing Big Day Kahuna, which are Klayim, which are Shatnas. So he's being a Kohen, the mitzvah say, of wearing the Big Day Kahuna, at the very same time that he's being over the Lois say of Shatnas, and that's why there's a rule of Esei Doicha Lois say. But let's think about our Gemara. The Lois say, he's over as soon as he puts his body, or part of his body, into the Azara. The mitzvah say he's only going to be Mekayim tonight when he eats the Korban Pesach. That is an essay doicha loisasei. So the Shita Mekubetzes has a very interesting approach. He says what the Torah is teaching us is not that there's a lav and he's being over the lav just because the mitzvah say is stronger. In a case where there's a mitzvah say sheesh by chorus, there is no lav, there is no isser for somebody who's tamei to make a partial entry into the Azara. That's how the Sheet explains. Tysus says that, indeed, if we were to follow the usual guidelines of Essay Deicha Leisasei, we can't follow those guidelines. We're not following the proper guidelines in our Gemara. However, Tysus says that's exactly what the Braisa that we learned yesterday teaches us. The regular guidelines of an essay are not to be used here. Why? Because this is a very unique essay. This is a mitzvah essay that has with it a kriyif karis. And therefore, since it's a very unique mitzvah essay, it's only one of two mitzvahs essay, therefore here, the halacha will be that we say that the essay supersedes the lav, even without all the usual requirements we need to apply the rule of essay dechalais essay. The question would be, we know that there's one more example of a mitzvah essay that carries with it a chiv karis, and that is the mitzvah mila. So the Mefarshim try to understand, will we say also about a mitzvah essay of mila, if there'll be a case to use essay dechalais essay, we will not have to follow all the guidelines and still apply the concept of essay dechalais essay. The Gemara now has a whole different version of Reish Lakish's ruling. Kiyasa Rabban Amar Ravua, Linya Tamei Shnagi B'Kadosh Shetma. Reish Lakish was speaking about somebody, Tamei, who touched some food that's Kadosh, and it had nothing to do, as Ula taught, about somebody who's Tamei putting his hand into the Zara. Ditmar, as we learned, Tamei Shnagi B'Kadosh, if somebody's Tamei touches something that's Kadosh, Reish Lakish I'm a like, Reish Lakish says he gets Malkus, Rav Yochanan in a loika, Rav Yochanan says he doesn't get malchus. As all the Rishonim point out, certainly Rav Yochanan agrees that it's usur for Tamei to touch Kodesh. It only means that according to Rav Yochanan there is no malchus. And the Gemara explains the basis of this machlokes. Reish Lakish on the loika, because the pasuk says b'chol Kodesh leisiga, to teach us that a Tamei person is not allowed to touch Kodesh, and if he does, he gets Malkus. Rav Yochanan says, "Ain a loika." What does he do with that pasuk? Hobe truma ksev. He says that pasuk is referring to truma. The Torah is teaching us that a person whose tamei may not touch truma. Why does Rav Yochanan say that pasuk is referring to somebody touching truma? So we explained in our previous year. This pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Leisiga was said regarding a woman who had a child. And as we explained, a woman who had a child, when she has a boy, for the first 7 days she's tamei. And she has a girl for the first 14 days. Then she goes to the mikvah. And again, I must emphasize that this is all midaraisa. Nowadays these rules don't apply. Then she goes to the mikvah, by a boy for the next 33 days, and by a girl for the next 66 days, she's tahor. No matter what, even if she has an omission. At the end of the 80 days by a girl, at the end of the 40 days by a boy, she goes to the mikvah. And the Torah says during those days, B'chol Kodesh Leisiga. Then she goes to the mikvah, she can't start touching truma, B'chol Kodesh Leisiga, but she's still a Mechusa Kippurim, she has to bring a Kabbonis, until then, she can't eat Kachin. So since this pasuk is referring to truma, says Rabbi Yochanan, this pasuk is teaching us a special halacha that somebody tamei may not touch truma. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. If somebody whose truma is certainly not on the same level as kodesh, so if Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us that somebody who is tamei is now out of, it gets malchus for touching truma, certainly so should be the halacha for touching kodesh. So Rashi answers, the halacha is, ein onshin min hadin. We can't come up with a punishment through a kal v'chomer. Even though what we just said is extremely logical, doesn't make a difference. We have to follow what the Torah teaches us. However, because of this kasha and other reasons, Tosfos has a different approach. When the Gemara is saying here that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Leisiga is teaching us regarding a tamei touching truma, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Torah is teaching us, and if a Tamei does touch Truma, he'll get Malkus. There is no Malkus. The Torah is telling us there's an Isser, but there is no Chiv Malkus. Now, there's no question. There's no Malkus by Truma, and there's no basis to ask, so therefore there should be Malkus by Kachin. asked the Gemara. But we explained that this pasuk, according to Rish Lakish, is coming to teach us that a Tamei may not touch Kaidish. Asked the Gemara, Rish Lakish, Hai Kro Lach Yudasa, Hamabai Leila Tzara, Loich Hubisa Kaidish. The pasuk is teaching us that somebody whose Tamei may not eat meat that's Kaidish, Ditmar, as Ara Loich Hubasa Kaidish Menayin. How do we know that somebody whose Tamei may not eat Kaidish, Rish Lakish, Omer, Bechal Kaidish, Loisiga, Rav Yochanan Amar Tani Bagla, Rav Yochanan has another basis, ask you to Masr to Masr Beis Mikdash. The Torah we know says that somebody whose Tamei may not enter the Beis, may not enter the Beis Mikdash. So by learning Xer Shava, the Torah teaches us Mala Halon, just like a Tamei entering the Beis Mikdash Onash Vehizr. The Torah says there's a laugh for entering the Beis Mikdash when he's Tamei, and the Torah teaches us there's an Oynish for that, the Onish is Kares, Afkan, so by extrapolation, Onish for Hisr. As the Rishonim explained, even though the Torah doesn't have an explicit pasuk to teach us that somebody who's Tamei may not eat Basa Kodesh, but the Torah does say Achiv Kares, so we say, and there's a Hekish, there's a Gzer Shavah connecting these two parishes, so we say that just like there is an Onish and Azara, here too there will be an Onish Azara. So how can we say, but going back to Rish Lakish, how can we say that the pasuk is coming to teach us that a Tamei may not touch Kodesh? He's using it to teach us that a Tamei may not eat Kodesh. Answers Rish Lakish. Tamish Nagav Kodesh. How does pasuk teach us that a Tamei may not touch Kodesh? We know because Midah Rachmana Belosh Negiyah. Since the Torah used the word Negiyah, so that's why we know, that's how we use it, that even just touching is also. And the other halacha of Azhar al-Oichel, how we know that somebody may not eat Kodesh when he's Tamei, Mediskish Kodesh l'Migdash, since we see that the Torah compares Kodesh l'Migdash, and just like somebody may not enter the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tamei, this pasuk serves to make a Gzeir Shava, that so will be the Halacha, that somebody who's Tamei may not eat Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Tanik HaVasid Rish Lakish, we learned in a Brais like Rish Lakish, B'chol Kodesh l'Siga, Azhar al-Oichel. The Torah comes to teach us that somebody who's Tamei may not eat Kodesh. At the Omer Azhar al-Oichel, is the post only teaching us that somebody's Tamei may not eat Kodesh, Ayin Elo Negeya? Maybe the post is also only speaking about somebody whose Tamei may not touch Kodesh. Tamal Omer, B'chol Kodesh le'siga, v'lamigdash le'sava, Makish Kodesh le'migdash. Ma'am Migdash, Dovah Sheyesh Boi, Natilas Neshama, Af Kodesh Dovah Sheyesh Boi, Natilas Neshama. If we're going to say that the pasuk is strictly speaking about negeya, the teals neshama meyika, would there be a chiyuv kares to somebody tamei touching kodesh? It must be that the pasuk is speaking regarding achila. Ask the Gemara, the Katmi Boile, how can we say that this pasuk, according to Rish Lakish, is coming to teach us that somebody who's tamei may not eat kodesh, and if he does, rachmano tzlon, he'll be chiyuv kares? Rav Shlokish needs this pasuk to teach us that even if he ate kodesh before the zrikas adam, and we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's shiur, the halacha is that it's chayiv karis ditma that is chayiv not karis but is chayiv malchus ditma tamishach bas kodesh lufnei zrika. Rav Shlokish amaloika, Rav Yochanan amaloika, Rav Shlokish amaloika. Because the pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo siga lo shna lefnei zrika v'lo shna l'ach zrika a tamei may not eat kodesh. Rav Yochanan amar ain't a loika there is no malchus because k'detani ba'adla. Rav Yochanan knows the entire halacha that there's an iser for tamei to eat kodesh from the zeirush shav that we quoted earlier of tumasai tumasai v'kik sivahu. Where was that zeirush shav said l'ach zrika? Because the pasuk says Kol Tor, the pasuk that speaks about a tamei person not eating, getting kares for eating kodesh, the pasuk before it says Kol Tor Yoichel Basar, and Kol Tor Yoichel Basar is referring to basar that is that already had zrikas adam. So if the pasuk before is speaking about basar that may be eaten, and when may basar be eaten? Only after the Zrikas Adam. it comes to extend the Isser for a Tame to eat Basar. It's talking about that very Basar. It's only Basar that's after Zrik Sadat. So the Gemara's question is, how could Rish Lakish put so much into that one Pasuk? That he's saying that the Pasuk is teaching us that firstly the Pasuk is teaching us that the Torah, that a Tame may not touch Kodesh. Then the Pasuk is teaching us that a Tame may not eat Basar Kodesh before the Zrika. And then he's telling us that the Pasuk is teaching us that a Tame may not eat Basar Kodesh after the Zrika. Answers the Gemara, Im Kein Rish Lakish says, Lema Krava Kodesh. If all the Torah meant was to teach us regarding Basar that had already Zrika Saddam, the Torah could have just used the words Bik Kodesh. The fact that the Torah used the words Bichol Kodesh, Shmami Natarti, that's talking about Basar before Zrika Saddam and Basar Lach Zrika Saddam. So in summary, according to Rish Lakish, this Pasuk teaches us no less than three halakas. One, it teaches us the halakha that somebody Tamei may not touch Kodesh, and according to Rish Lakish, if he does, he gets Malkus. The Pasuk teaches us that somebody Tamei may not eat Basar Kodesh before the Zrika, and again, according to Rish Lakish, that carries with it Achiv Malkus. And then the Pasuk teaches us that somebody Tamei may not eat Basar Kodesh after the Zrika, and for that there's Achiv Karas. Actually, before we conclude our shiur, our Gemara is related to a question that we discussed previously, is if somebody is allowed to put his hands between the cracks, between the stones of the Kaisel. Because if we're learning that Bia B'miksa Shema Bia, even a partial entry may be considered an entry, all of us are Tamei Meis, and therefore, since all of us are Tamei, we're also Tamei Balkeri, so by putting our fingers in between the cracks, it Bia B'miksa Shema Bia, we're putting our fingers into the Har Habayis, because we know the Kaisel is the wall around the Har Habayis. And as we've learned, somebody who has a Tumas Keri may not be in the Har Habayis. And that is why I said it's the minig of many Gebel Yisrael, the minig of the Chazanish, the minig of the Stipler, that they did not put their fingers in between the stones of the Kaisel Maravi. There are those that say that the Chazanish didn't even come close to the wall for that very reason. The Stipler, it seems, did come close to the wall, just didn't put his fingers into the stone. The Avni Nezer, however, takes a very interesting approach. He says that even if we follow the opinion of Bia B'miksa Shema Bia, it's only where there would be a Chiyuv Karis for that Bia. And therefore, says the Avni Nezer, even as we've been learning, somebody who has a Tumas Keri may not be on the Har Habayis, but somebody with a Tumas Keri being on the Har Habayis carries with it a Chiyuv Malkus, doesn't carry with it a Chiyuv Karis, and therefore there is no rule where the Isser is only a Chiyuv Malkus, a Bia B'miksa Shema Bia, and therefore he says one may put his hands in between the stones of the wall of the Kaisel HaMaravi.